Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Fiat Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Basudeb Banerjee from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning to the respective participants, and thanks to the Fiat management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. We have with us the top management of Fiat represented by Mr. Arnab Banerjee, MD and CEO, and Mr. Kumar Subbiah, CFO. So without wasting any time, over to the management for their initial comments. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon and welcome to Fiat's Q1 FY24 earnings call. I am Arnab Banerjee here. I'll be taking you through the business updates for the quarter, and then I will hand it over to Kumar for his remarks on the financial performance. Then we shall be open for Q&A. Starting with volume performance, Q1 was a good quarter for us with overall volume growth close to 3% QOQ. Exports are doing well and grew at 11% over Q4. Replacement volume saw a sequential improvement of around 4%. Q1 is generally a good quarter for passenger segments. Both two-wheeler and PCUV reported good growth. Commercial vehicle tire sales saw a marginal drop. OEM volumes dipped 3% quarter-on-quarter, primarily because of a portfolio changeover in the PCUV segment where we are exiting small rim size tire vehicles and entering higher rim size vehicle, and this makeover will take one or two quarters more. Demand outlook: monsoon so far has been near the long-term average. However, we'll have to wait out through quarter four and see how well it is distributed across the country. Rural demand is showing some signs of uptick, but we'll have to wait, as I said, through the quarter to see how it impacts demand. Replacement demand has been stable overall across categories: motorcycle, scooter, and passenger growing well, with commercial vehicle segment showing some constraint in growth. In the OEM side, again, two-wheeler is growing well over last quarter, whereas passenger and heavy vehicles are not doing so well quarter-on-quarter. Export markets have been steady and are expected to pick up in the later half of the year. Demand from traditional areas such as traditional areas for us, that is, Middle East, Africa, SAARC, these are improving as the currency situation is getting better in this area. Europe is impacted by mild recessionary trends, which is felt mostly on the farm radial side, whereas U.S. and Latin America have continued to do well. Going on to margins, input prices have remained stable during the quarter. The commodity basket declined by about 1.5% vis-à-vis quarter four. We have largely been able to maintain our pricing in replacement market, which has helped us sustain gross margin around 41% level. Standalone EBITDA margin for the quarter is at 13.2%, and standalone net profit is around 159 crores. In the current quarter, at an annualized basis, our post-tax ROC has entered double-digit levels, and we intend to focus on this parameter going forward. We have been doing a lot of work around efficiency improvement and zero-based approach to cost over the last two, three years, which will come in handy as far as our margins and ROC is concerned. On the future trends, which we keep talking about, there are four of them: electrification, globalization, premiumization, and digital. Going one by one, in the electric vehicle segment, we continue to hold 40%+ share in electric vehicle two-wheelers. In passenger segment, we are either nominated and launched, or we are working with OEMs to work on several projects such as Mahindra XUV 400, MG Comet, ZS EV, Citroën C3. We are working with Tata, Kia, as well on their EV projects. So we will have a good share in the electric vehicle four-wheeler market as well. In the TBR segment, also in electric vehicle buses, some of our approvals are in Tata Motors Ace Electric Mini Pickup, the Starbus project, electric buses by Volvo Eicher, JBM, BYD, PMI Electro. So we are well placed as far as EV is concerned in all segments. Now, globalization is going to be a key driver. 19% of our value is coming from international business, and we want to see it going up over the years. We have already doubled our sales from focus geographies of EU and Americas in the last 4 years. On the off-highway side, we have a good presence SKU-wise, and we have an entry to about 80% of the global agricultural market. We have got into flagship OEMs such as John Deere, CNH, AGCO for this business, and we'll continue to focus on faster ramp-up of agri radials. On the passenger side, passenger car tire size, our export sales has hit a run rate of about 2 million tires per annum, and a bulk of it coming from the European Union. TBR tires also have been launched in Europe and have seen good acceptance by customers. It has grown very well in Latin American market, and we are on course for a rollout to US in the quarter four of current financial year. Closer home, Sri Lanka situation is improving, currency has been stable, and the tire demand there also should start recovering going forward. Quarter one has been much better. We have opened our first SEAT Shoppe, which is an exclusive SEAT showroom outside India, that is in Nepal. The third trend is premiumization, and here we are well placed with our four premium platform in passenger car tire, which is Sport Drive, Cross Drive, Sakura Drive, and Sakura Drive SUV. Revenue share from these premium platforms is tracking close to 28%, and this should keep going up over the quarters. We did the strategic timeout in IPL 2023 campaign. We were also present on media, which was focused on SUV tires once again. Continuing our association with cricket, we signed out with Matthew Hedden, and we want to associate with him over the cricket properties that are coming up this year. In two-wheeler segments, the premiumization with the premiumization outlook, we have started investing in new properties such as Supercross League, Enduro Tracks, which is an adventure event, Discovery Ride with premium bikes, and Rider Mania. And these properties will grow in future. We continue to invest in the SEAT brand, and even as we speak with the heavy monsoons in Mumbai, we are on with our two-wheeler monsoon tire change campaign. To provide a premium one-stop experience to commercial customers, we have opened the largest truck service hub in Gandhidham, Gujarat, which has 6 service bays in quarter one. It has a retreading unit as well, where Marangoni has set up the unit, and consequently, we are looking at a partnership with Marangoni over retreading. On the digitalization trend, the Lighthouse 4.0 success continues. We are horizontally deploying it to Chennai plant now, and looking for more certifications in the coming quarters. Coming to D2C channel, our passenger car tire sales in D2C channels has moved up to 6%, and we have decided to invest in marketing CRM in the coming quarters. Our total capex for FY24 is likely to be around 750 crores. We have looked at our TBR strategy closely over the last few quarters. We have established significant superiority of our products, leading to better pricing and margins for TBR. All these new TBR platforms are doing well on tire life, fuel efficiency, and rank amongst the best in the respective ranges. OEM acceptance had been good, with our share going up to double digit. And as a result of this strategy, our margins in domestic TBR has been on an uptrend. We have received good feedback and acceptance in international markets as well. And as I mentioned earlier, we are poised to launch it in the US market later in the year. Our Halol capacity utilization has crossed 90% level, and therefore we think it is important to resume the Chennai TBR expansion, which was approved by board earlier. The board had approved the full project of around 90,000 tires. We are taking up only half of that as phase one, about 45,000 tires. The total capex over the years will be around 700 crores. This investment sits well into our plan of incurring bite-sized capex every year and into our pecking order of capital allocation across categories. On sustainability, we are continuing to do well. For instance, ton CO2 emission per metric ton has reduced by 9% YOY. 36% of our plant power requirement is tied up through renewable sources versus 26% a year ago. We'll continue to increase this saliency. Water consumption per ton reduced by 12% per YOY. We were also recognized at the Economic Times Sustainable Organization 2023 Forum for our sustainability initiatives. So FY24 is turning out to be a good year from demand, a steady year from demand perspective, as well as from the perspective of raw material prices. Our focus will be now to accelerate growth momentum, invest in the brand, invest in market presence, manufacturing capabilities, and take CEAT to be to a sustainable, healthy margin and in a superior ROC orbit. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Kumar for his remarks.
Thank you, Arnab. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining our quarter one earnings call. I'll share some further financial data points with you all, post which we can enter Q&A. On revenue, our consolidated net revenue for the quarter stood at 2,935 crores, a growth of about 2.1% quarter on quarter and 4.1% year on year, which has a mix of both price and volume growth. And coming to gross margins, our consolidated gross margin improved by about 100 basis points quarter on quarter sequentially and about 940 basis points year on year, largely driven by drop in raw material costs and better product mix. We are witnessing some kind of stability in the prices of base materials like crude oil, rubber, and also currency that helped in terms of maintaining stability in the prices of raw material costs for the last 6 months. While crude oil prices have moved up in the last week, 2 weeks, from $75 level to around $83 as we speak, we still expect our raw material prices to be within the range as far as quarter two is concerned. So coming to debt, capital expenditure and working capital, we spent about 220 crores on various capex items during the quarter, which consists of both project as well as normal capex. We prioritize high impact capex and key project capex in quarter one, leading to incurring of capex little more than the proportionate amount for the year. As Arnab mentioned, we would like to maintain our overall capex guidance of 750 crores for the year FY24. Working capital as of end June remained at similar levels of quarter 4 FY23, that is around negative 142 crores, and small increase in raw material and receivables is offset by marginal increase in payables during the quarter that helped us to maintain the same level. We generated healthy operating cash flow, which was used to meet and fund our capex for the quarter and also reduce our debt to the extent of about 98 crores. Our consolidated debt stood at 1,989 crores, a reduction of about 97 crores over quarter 4 FY23. The above reduction of 98 crores is over and above 252 crores of debt that we were able to reduce in quarter 4 FY23. With these improved EBITDA and lower level of debt, our EBITDA as in terms of debt equity stands at below 0.6 as of end June, and debt EBITDA is at a comfortable level of about 1.5x. Coming to our operational expenses, employee cost during the quarter was lower to the extent of about 8.5% sequentially. It's largely on account of slightly higher provision in quarter four in our books on account of some settlements signed with employees in one of our older factories and also contribution towards performance bonus. During the quarter, our expenses increased on account of higher marketing costs and annual conferences, advertisement, travel, and other costs. In our subsidiary, Sri Lanka business operated slightly lower volumes, and as a result, profitability remains impacted. Country's overall look in Sri Lanka is improving, and we are hoping that some recovery in tire demand in the coming quarters. Finally, our consolidated EBITDA for the quarter stood at 385 crores, which translates to about 13.1% of EBITDA margin, about 20 basis points improvement over quarter four. Depreciation and interest costs were similar to quarter four FY23. Effective interest rate went up by about 80 basis points in quarter one versus quarter four, but we largely neutralized the impact through reduction in our debt. We expect the interest rates to go up further in the range of anywhere between 20 and 30 basis points in near term. We'd also like to share with you that in the month of July, on 5th of July, when convened our annual general meeting, shareholders approved declaration of about 120% of annual dividend, translating to about 48 crores has been since paid in the month of July. Also happy to share with you all that SEAT received an award from CNBC and ICICI Prudential under the category Master of Risk Award Auto Ancillary Sector in Large Capital category. This has proved or provided a reassurance to us in terms of our best-in-class risk management practices. With that, I open this floor for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Ashan Modi from Equitas Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a great set of numbers. So my first question is on the margin side. So could you please provide more color on margins? What is the quarter-on-quarter impact of higher A&P expense? And what was the impact of RM price pass-through and price escalations and RM on the gross margin level on a quarter-on-quarter basis?
Yeah, overall, on aggregate basis, raw material cost went down by about 1.1% in quarter one versus quarter four. Okay, and that being about raw material cost being around 60-65% of our sales value, 60% let's assume, that much favorable impact it has in quarter one versus quarter four. At marketing expenses, all our sales related expenses, overall about impact of about 0.4% adverse versus quarter four. And selling price more or less remained constant, was marginally lower on account of, you know, BU mix. So balance everything is through efficiencies and other aspects that Arnab had covered is flowing into our gross margins and EBITDA margins.
Sure, sir. Sure. And then my next question is on free cash flows. So, sir, our standalone gross debt reduced by 97 crores during the quarter. What was the capex during the quarter and working capital, as you have mentioned, that it was expected to increase with RM softening. So, how do you expect the RM, the working capital to change going ahead? And how do we see free cash flow generation from here?
So, during the quarter, we generated free cash flow. We generated free cash flow in quarter four too. So, we prepaid 97 crores of debt, and as was covered, we incurred a capex of about 222 crores. So everything was funded through internal accruals. But I did not say, or not Arnab said, that lower raw material prices will lead to increase in working capital. Okay, and we only said lower raw material prices. Maybe in the previous quarter we said we would like to normalize working capital in terms of FG inventory and RM inventory, not relating to any drop in raw material prices. At some point in time, as our sales volume increases, we'll have to keep the inventory back to the normal levels. Some kind of a normalization, part of the normalization happened in quarter one. And in general, we would like to keep the working capital at current level. in terms of absolute value.
Sure, sir. Sure, sir. And then my last question, could you please provide some color on demand on the replacement and export side, a segment-wise color on demand going forward?
So going forward, if the monsoons are good and rural demand picks up, we are looking at two-wheeler demand picking up to high double-digit, low high single-digit, low double-digit level. It's done well in quarter one, demand-wise. And passenger segment also has done well, and we expect this to be in high single digits with more SUV tire demands, higher rim sizes demand, the market shifting towards that kind of demand. We are not so certain about the commercial vehicle side, which in OEM as well as replacement has been constrained. In fact, Q1Q OEM volumes dropped significantly, and replacement volumes also have been tight. So that's the only spoiler. Otherwise, on the passenger side, we are looking at it positively. On the export side, since we are, given the scale of global markets, we are a small player. So the recession in Europe is not going to impact us in any significant way in four-wheeler sales, which is passenger car tire sales. It may have some headwinds towards the agri-radial sale. US is doing well. Latin America is doing well. So from our growth perspective, it will not be a big impact, either positive or negative.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to two per participant only. The next question is from the line of Mumuksh Mandlesha from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Congrats on a good set of numbers, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, how are you seeing the resilience of the tire industry in terms of profitability post the import restriction? Are you seeing the local manufacturing players focusing more on profitability despite demand being low? How do you see the competition of the new players entering India with the local plants like Michelin plans to set up a new plant, or any current players expanding faster?
We have not yet seen any significant price erosion in the replacement market. It has been competitive, and on the passenger side, demand is okay given the circumstances, as I mentioned in my previous response. It is high single digit, low double digit kind of thing in two-wheeler, high single digit in passenger. It's in the truck bus radial side where demand may be a little bit constrained. So we really don't expect too much of a realization drop from our side going forward. In the OEM, of course, it is indexed, so realization will move along with the raw material movement. If your question is about competitive intensity and resilience in terms of margin, then this was the scenario in the pre-COVID years also, FY17 to FY20, where our gross margins used to move between 40% to 42%, and that's where we are in quarter one, and around 41% margin. So as far as we are concerned, we are looking at stability of margins.
Thank you. Can you share the YOY volume growth in terms of channel-wise and product-wise, sir?
Quarter-on-quarter? Quarter-on-quarter, value-wise?
Volume-wise, YOY, for the channel and the product, sir.
Okay, so YOY truck bus radial, we have overall grown by about 5-odd%, and we got a big entry into OEMs in truck bus. I'm talking mostly radial. So overall, we have grown by about 35% in OEM. We have grown by high double digit in export also. Replacement had been a slower growth, single digit kind of growth in truck bus radial YOY. And off-highway has been growing pretty well. In terms of all double-digit growth, the farm sector has really done very well in replacement in OEM and as well as in international markets. We are having high growth here. Two-wheeler has been modest in terms of low single-digit kind of growth YOY, with replacement being flattish, OE and international growing in high single digits. Passenger, again, YOY has been low single-digit growth, with us doing very well in the international market in exports, especially EU. Replacement also doing well, whereas because of the reasons explained earlier, we have taken a beating in the OE segment temporarily because of the inch-wise portfolio changeover from 12, 13-inch tires to 16, 17, 18-inch tire, and this will come back over quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four.
Thank you so much for this.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Behera from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, and so congrats on a good set of numbers. So first question is on the mix. Can you indicate what will be the replacement and export mix in the current quarter versus last quarter?
Value-wise, OEM is 27%, and replacement and export will be making up the balance. So there's a 2%, 2 to 3% improvement in mix in quarter one vis-a-vis last year.
So replacement would have gone up by 2% is what you are mentioning.
Replacement plus international.
Okay.
OEM would have gone down by 2 to 3%.
Okay. So based on your expectations, so this should normalize over the years, or you think some of the growth in the replacement and international will continue?
International will definitely grow, and we would like to push this further. Replacement, if the monsoons are good and two-wheeler demand is good, then the passenger side will grow aggressively. So minor changes could be there over this over the next few quarters.
Got it. And sir, I just missed that TBR capacity expansion CapEx you mentioned. What was the number, and by when do you plan to sort of start investing on this?
So the total amount of CAPEX in phase one, which is about 45,000 tires, we mentioned about 700 crores. And not much of it will be incurred this year. And anyway, it is included in our CAPEX forecast of around 750 crores this year.
So 750 crores includes all project plus maintenance, or it is only the project CAPEX?
It includes all projects plus normal CAPEX, which we incur every year. It's all inclusive.
Okay. Okay. So most of the TBR investments you are saying will happen more towards the second half or next year perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And sir, what will be the utilization levels in the passenger car segment for us currently?
Roughly it is around 75% passenger car and two-wheeler segments.
Okay. Okay. So there you may not need to do much CAPEX in the current...
No, there is enough headroom to grow there.
Okay. Got it. And so lastly, I think for the exports, you mentioned it is maybe close to 19% this quarter, and generally your ambition is to go up to 25%. So I understand we are doing a lot of things, but just in terms of when shall we start expecting a meaningful pickup in the numbers? Will it be more towards next year, and any target for the next year in terms of mix you have?
No, it will be gradual over next 2-3 years. 25% is a medium-term target that I think we have been sharing, FY26 kind of thing. So that is over 2-3 years it will go. We should see improvement gradually quarter on quarter towards the next half of this year. I think there's a lot of things lined up on agri-radial side, our PCR side, as well as we'll getting to US by quarter four this year. So it will be a gradual step-by-step increase.
Got it. So last question on the margin. So when you say that you are focusing more on the higher rim size models in passenger vehicle segment, does it mean that it will be sort of a slightly better margin segment generally compared to the other PV segments you are catering into?
Yes, it has significantly higher margin profile then let's say 17, 18 inch would have a much better margin profile than a 12, 13 inch tire.
Okay. Got it, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on good set of numbers. Quickly on the 750 crore capex for FY24, to clarify, it would not have any material capex from TBR expansion, right?
Yeah, no. See, as Arnab mentioned, TBR 700 crores is phase one. Okay, out of that 150 crores, we have already spent on civil and PEB.
Okay.
So therefore, and some advances, we are talking about 550 crores of capex, balance capex for phase one to produce that 45,000 tires kind of volume per month. So therefore, in the, within that 550, there will be some in the current year and some in the balance next 2 years or so. So it would be in line with the overall guidance of 750 crores that we have given. Okay, I don't think it's going to make any impact on that 750 crores, on the total number.
Yeah, and the only growth capex in this would be the TBR one and the OTR, the balancing capex. Would that be?
Yeah, correct? No, some downstream on PCR, little bit on two-wheelers. Okay, and we also something on specialty bias capacity. So it's a mix of all of that. Depending on our demand, we are spending, and specialty we have already announced that is agri radial. So it consists of all of those.
Okay, okay. And of the 750, roughly 150 would be maintenance.
It's in the range. You know, see, maintenance means it includes R&D, it includes molds, it includes IT digital related. Sometimes some of the smaller debottlenecking proposals are also there in that part of the 150. I think we should take it as a 200 kind of a number instead of a 150.
Okay, got it. Secondly, coming to the OTR side, so can you update on where we are in terms of our capacity? I believe it's about 105 TPD. And
okay,
what is utilization there and expansion plans?
See, there we have been adding capacities in phases. Okay, and the last time, about 6 months back, we took the capacity to about 81 tons at our Ambernath. Sometime in the current quarter, it will go up to 105. What we announced was 105 to become 160 tons, another 55 tons that we are adding. That will be in the next financial year.
Right, and that would be with capex off?
So when we announced that 55 tons, we said about 385 crores is the capex that we have planned overall. So that will be spent between this year and next year.
Next year. Got it.
Yes, that is part of the 750 that we indicated for current year.
Right. Beyond this 160 TPD on the radial, what would be our capacity and the bias for agri or the OTR side?
The bias capacity would be approximately 100 plus 120 tons.
Okay, and that doesn't need any expansion.
That is coming. Our utilization is good. We have a plan for expanding. We'll do it whenever it's required. Right now, immediately, no.
Okay. Got it. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Market Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, and sir, congratulations on the good set of numbers. So my question is on the, could you please throw some light on the launch in US while we are in the planning phase? And additionally, it would be helpful if you could shed light on the targeted revenue aspect. And my second question, I would greatly appreciate an explanation about the momentum observed in the southern state, as earlier we were witnessing weakness. Thank you.
First, respond to your first question. The US launch will start from FY24 quarter four, starting with TBR and then following with the first range of SKUs of PCR. So as far as our market research goes and our preparation goes, it's on schedule. It's very difficult to put a turnover target, etc., because it depends on market access also. U.S. is a huge continent where you have to have channels set up across the country to be able to access the entire market. So suppose I just set it up in southern U.S., in Texas and western U.S., then large part of the Midwest and eastern side is not accessible. So it'll depend on what rate we progress towards market accessibility. I think we are pretty bullish in terms of ramp-up being faster than our Europe business. So maybe closer to quarter four, we'll be in a position to have a view and share what is our outlook for FY25. What was your second question?
Sir, second question on the momentum observed in the southern states, as earlier we were witnessing weakness.
Southern states of India, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I think we are putting in a lot of effort there for all the categories, two-wheelers, four-wheeler, and TBR. We have seen good traction in TBR. We are seeing good traction in PCR, and two-wheeler is stable. Two-wheeler, we are relatively better off in south and west. So there's more stability in that size, and we are chasing growth in four-wheeler and TBR.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Joseph George from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions. One is, what is your overall volume growth on a year-on-year basis? Because the revenue growth is single-digit, and you seem to indicate that every segment has seen volume growth. What is your overall volume growth on a year-on-year basis?
On a YOY basis, overall growth is around 1.5%.
Okay. And so which segments saw declines? Because earlier, when you gave the volume growth number across segments, most of the segments seem to have growth.
Yeah. So there is one LCV and small commercial vehicle segment which has declined, which is not a priority segment for us. Then passenger and two, three-wheeler have grown in low single digits, just about positive. And off-highway and truck bus have grown a little higher single digits. So it works out to weighted average level of 1.5%.
Understood. And so the next question that I had was, when you look at your RM basket, you mentioned that 1Q saw a 1.5% QOQ drop in the RM basket. When you look at 2Q, how do you see the RM basket moving on a QOQ basis compared to 1Q, that is?
Okay. See, we expect it to be within a range. Okay. We don't expect any significant upward movement, but one or two raw material prices have moved up. For example, carbon black prices have moved up from 1st of July as the feedstock that goes into it has seen some upward movement. Recently, in the last 1 to 2 weeks, we are observing some increase in Brent crude. It was hovering around 75. As we speak, it's about $83 or so. It may not have material impact in quarter two because we are already end of first month of the quarter two, and generally, we have covers for 2 months or so. But we expect it to be within a range, maybe plus or minus 1% over last quarter. That is the range in which we expect RM prices to be in quarter two.
Understood, sir. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mitul Shah from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for a good set of numbers, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on the export side. How has been the pricing there?
So export side, quarter on quarter, there is a minor drop in realization, about a couple of percentage points. And because there the pass-through happens very quickly, especially in Europe, US, Latin America kind of market. But I would say that's fine, and we don't expect prices to drop significantly going forward.
Across the products or any specific?
It's a narrow product range. It is primarily on the commercial side. Yeah, you can say across the product.
And second question in based on your presentation, and you also highlighted about this portfolio rejig in PCUV. So can you give more details and how much one can consider impact in Q1 and what would be the recovery expected in Q2 from this?
Yeah, so a significant proportion of our OEM sales of passenger vehicle were coming from lower rim sizes. That has gone to zero. And as our volumes grow from 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 inch rim sizes, mostly the bigger cars, SUVs, etc., it will start trickling in from Q2 and have full recovery by end of Q3. In terms of overall volume.
Yes, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag from White Pine. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations for the set of numbers. So just a follow-up on the earlier participant's question. So you said that the supply for this 13 inches tire have become zero from your side.
It has got a significant, not 13, 12, 13, 14 put together, these are the lower rim sizes. It has significantly reduced.
So would they still be low, mid-single digits or high-single digits of the overall PCR tires? They would be around single digit. That is what you are indicating from it used to be much higher earlier.
See, if I was selling 100 tires, such yeah. tires were about, let's say, 50-60%. It has yeah. reduced significantly. In OEM, okay. this is in OEM.
Yeah. And sir, how much of this... So how much is this, how much of this is outside the industry shift that we have seen, right? One is that this smaller inches tire, the industry proportion has changed, and second is you may have chose not to participate in some of these businesses. So between the two, how should we look at it?
It's a mixture of both. You're right. The market itself is shifting towards CSUV, compact SUV and SUVs. And so the proportion of 12, 13, 14 inch, 12 and 13 mostly is reducing significantly. And we also see and saw an opportunity to focus more on the higher rim size vehicle, the SUVs, etc. And it's a combination of two.
Fair point, sir. And parallel conclusion is that your market share in higher inch tire in PCR would be much more than your average market share, right? So in the
after
PCR category.
Change, after this changeover in OEMs, yes.
Yeah, in OEMs. I'm referring to OEMs, sir. Yeah.
Yes.
So this is helpful. Sir, one last question if I can squeeze in. So this 700 crore capex is largely, for this year, is largely debottlenecking, right? Except for the TVR capex that you already indicated, which will happen in H2 a little bit. So this large part of this 700 crore capex is more of a debottlenecking capex. That is the right way to understand, correct? And that would add anywhere between 5% to 10% of your capacity, including downstreaming and parallel expansion, etc., all inclusive.
No, see, it's 750. Okay, and that 750 crores includes project capex for Ambernath, where we are doing agri radial, some downstream in two-wheeler plant at Nagpur, downstream passenger car radial at Chennai, then some specialty bias capacity conversion in our older factories, plus our normal capex. And we are also spending some money on debottlenecking. Like, for example, we did some debottlenecking in Halol factory, okay, to increase our production. So all of them put together is about that 750 crores. In case of TBR, we may have some cash outflow during the current year, and that will be part of the 750 is what they are saying.
No, sir, why I'm asking that this capex could be significantly margin or return on capital accretive, right?
This particular capex that you are doing. Yeah, correct. See, normally when you do a debottlenecking, capex per ton is lower, and obviously the on that. Capex, the incremental ROI would be higher than the greenfield or a brownfield kind of a capex. Yes.
And sir, as a clarification, in 25, what kind of capex 700 crore ballpark number is a fair assumption to look at, plus minus depending upon how the demand etc. behaves. But 700 crore kind of a run rate is a fair assumption for F25 project capex, or it would be far lower than that?
No, first of all, that please take that as 750, okay, for the current year. And yeah. Second, I know, see, look, generally we carry out a long-term demand plan, supply plan in the quarter yeah. three and quarter four of the financial year, and accordingly determine the capex requirement of the following year. That is the process. I think, as we also earlier mentioned, that we have created enough upstream capacities. Downstream, where involving lower lead times, okay, would be considered in our annual plan. And anything which is greenfield or larger capex is where it requires some planning. We have enough headroom for us to, you know, generate revenue from the capacities that we have already created. But in general, I think the number that you have indicated could be used as a, you know, for the purpose of estimating the next requirement. But we'll be able to provide clarity more in quarter four after we carry out our annual plan, where we will have LTDP and LTs.
No, fair point. This is very understandable, sir. And basically, the F25 also, there could be a good amount of debottlenecking capex and not a major brownfield or greenfield except for the TBR. So I was trying to understand how the capex nature would be in 25. Would it be more of greenfield, brownfield, or it would be more of debottlenecking, that's what you're doing in 24? That was the objective. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you speak a little louder?
Yeah. Sure. One minute. Is it fine now? Is it fine now?
Mr. Goyal, we are unable to hear you clearly.
Is it fine now, I think?
Yes. Please proceed.
My question is on basically the demand side. Like, are you getting any kind of weak signals on the demand side from the export or either on the domestic part? Actually, I joined the call on a little bit late. So, can you please put some light on the demand outlook, whether you are running on any weak capacity utilization levels due to rising imports or something else? Sir.
On the demand side, I'd mentioned that depends on the monsoon again. If the rural demand looks up, then we are a little bit positive on the two-wheeler side. It could be high single-digit or low double-digit kind of market growth. Passenger car tires would see a solid single-digit, high single-digit kind of demand growth is what we estimate. There could be some constraint on the commercial vehicle tire demand side as we are looking at. Both OEM and replacement side are constrained. So this is the kind of outlook that we have at this moment for the next few quarters on the demand side.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Janesh Gandhi for Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, so just to clarify on the RM cost, we are seeing stability in terms of the natural rubber and synthetic rubber so far over 1Q levels, right? Or there is some further benefit expected?
No, we're not expecting any further benefit on raw material costs. Okay, we expect it to be stable for the current quarter, except a couple of base material, which is crude and carbon black feedstock, which is CBF as we call it, it moved ahead of crude in quarter one, and therefore it has an impact in quarter two. Crude has slightly moved up from $75 to $83. It may have some impact, but it will have less impact in quarter two. Okay, but if this sustains at the current level, there could be some adverse impact. But positively, we don't expect any impact in quarter two, beyond quarter one.
Got it. And interest cost, do you think it has peaked out in 1Q at about 70 crores per quarter, or there will be further increase despite increase in interest rates, but our overall loans are coming down? So how do we see that?
See, interest rates have been steadily moving up. Okay, so we've seen about 80 to 90 basis points kind of an increase in interest rate and it looks like there could be one more change in the repo rate. Could be, I'm just saying, there could be another 25 basis points kind of an impact. What is there in our control is, you know, ability to reduce, keep the debt under control. So in the last two quarters, we have reduced our debt by about little over 350 crores. So our drive to bring efficiencies in cash and minimizing our debt will continue. But however, in terms of interest rate, there could be an increase to the extent of about 20-25 basis points going into the future. Okay, impact on quarter two would be minimal. Okay, and but in beyond that, it, there could be an increase before it starts coming down.
So this is despite reduction in net debt.
No, I've said basis means interest rate. Okay, if your question is whether the interest in absolute value will remain around 70 crores, which we saw in quarter one, for quarter two, yes. Okay, and beyond quarter two, it would depend on interest rates and overall debt.
Got it. And lastly, any plans to move to the new tax regime anytime soon, or we still have substantial MAT credit for us to continue with the old regime?
No, we moved to the new regime 2 years back. Okay, and we did have some accumulated MAT credit in our books. However, when we did an evaluation, it was making sense for us to move to a new regime. Good, we did move to a new regime. Otherwise, the MAT credit accumulation would have increased. Okay, so therefore, we are already in new regime. That's the reason why our ETR is, you know, closer to about 25% compared to 35% that was there in the old regime.
Okay, and the higher rate on console level is just because of the lower profits of the subsidiaries.
Okay, now just for everyone's understanding, it's always good to look at ETR at the standalone level.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
And if you really look at the revenue and PBT before, say, dividend from the subsidiary, the difference is not much. Earlier, we had a separate entity for specialty business. However, having merged that, not much of a difference. So ETR, always we look at it on a standalone basis. Consolidated level, okay, the impact sometimes could arise on account of the fact that standalone would have received dividend, whereas it gets eliminated at the consolidated level. Sometimes the dividend distribution tax paid by the subsidiary entity, okay, is shown as a tax rate, etc. So at a quarter level, you may find some marginal difference, okay, but on a full year basis, you may not see the difference. ETR on a standalone basis is a good indicator.
Got it. I believe we moved in fourth quarter FY21. Now I recollect that.
Which one?
To the new tax regime.
Yeah. Since, you know, the new regime means it has to be from the beginning of the financial year. So April 20 to March 21, in the very first year itself, we moved to the new regime. Okay. And we had enough time to decide whether to move to a new regime or not. Looking back, I think it was the right decision.
Got it. Great, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Okay, thank you very much for your interest in SEAT, and we would like to come back with more transparency and openness, and we'll keep the nature of questions in mind so that we can address your queries proactively next time around. So see you next time.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.